Blog Talk Radio.
Love.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace. Well, your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. So glad and elated that you have stopped by the air today. Today, we'll have our topic today is when the Holy Spirit speak. And we'll have a few words of prayer. Gracious Father, we come this morning in the humblest way we know how, coming to give you praise this morning, coming to give you glory for who you are and whose you are. Thank you for being a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for using us this morning on this line, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for those that will tune in today or will come in on the archive later. So we give you the praise today, and we give you the glory because we know you are here, dear Heavenly Father. So we give you the praise and the glory. Amen and amen. Well, today, as we go about talking about the Holy Spirit, let me make sure I'm good and comfortable here. You know, the church at Antioch and certain prophets and teachers are referred to in our text. If we will note the language used, it becomes apparent to whom the Holy Spirit was speaking. When the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them," he was speaking of someone else taking action on Barnabas and Saul, the direct object of the action to be taken. And today we're talking about when the Holy Spirit speaks. Our tag words today I'll be using is the Holy Spirit speak, examine, and preaching. And we may have others that we will bring up. But you know, when you go over into Acts the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 5, you can read it at your convenience. You know, the book of Acts is a book of action. It is a record of the church and with action as she moved out from Jerusalem and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Excuse me. This gospel message had gone as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, but being preached to the Jews only in Acts 11:19. Some of them was men of Cyprus and Cyrene. When they came to Antioch, they preached the Lord Jesus unto the Grecians. When the news came to Jerusalem, they sent Barnabas to go as far as Antioch to investigate what they had heard. You can go to Acts 11:22. When he arrived, he saw that the grace of God was pouring out upon them just as it had in Jerusalem. And when he saw it, he was glad. He wasn't mad, but he was glad and encouraged, not discouraged. He was an encourager, not a discourager. Then all that which with purpose of heart they would cleave me continues with unto the Lord. You know, as a result, much people was added unto the Lord. You'll find that Acts 11:24. He then went and found Saul and brought him back with him to Antioch, where they assembled with the church that was organized with those who have turned unto the Lord in belief of the preaching of the Lord Jesus and taught them. There was carrying out the great commission of making, baptizing, and teaching disciples all things Christ commanded. You'll find that in Matthew 28. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, excuse for the interruption. You know, the Lord and the belief of the preaching of the Lord Jesus taught them. There was carrying out the great commission of making, baptizing, and the teaching disciples all things Christ commanded. Over in Acts 12:24-25, you know, we are instructed that the word of God grew and multiplied. And why not? There was certainly a spirit that prevailed with the church in spite of persecution on it for the word of God to grow and multiply. If this same spirit prevailed today, would it not have the same result? Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. You know, here in our text today, we find Barnabas and Saul back in the church at Antioch, along with three of the certain prophets and teachers. You know, over in verse 2 of our text, the Bible declared that the Holy Spirit said something. When the Holy Spirit speaks, folks ought all obligated to listen. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to stick a point right there. When the Holy Spirit speaks, are you listening? Are you acting on what the Holy Spirit is telling you? Or are you going about what you want to do, the flesh? You know, we want to examine this message to whom the Holy Spirit spoke. Have the Holy Spirit speak and what the Holy Spirit spoke about. You know, the church at Antioch and certain prophets and teachers are referred to in our text. If we will note the language used, it becomes apparent to whom the Holy Spirit was speaking. When the Holy Spirit says, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them," in verse 2, he was speaking of someone else taking action on Barnabas and Saul, the direct object of the action to be taken. If the Holy Spirit had spoken to them, he would have said, "Barnabas and Saul, separate yourself." The other three prophets and teachers were a part of those being considered to be acted upon. You know, therefore, this leaves us with the church that was at Antioch. As the others, only others to take action, the Holy Spirit said to the church at Antioch, to take action in the work he wanted done. Are we doing what God have called us to do? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit? Are we listening to Bobo, Sam, Sausage Age, and Mary Lou? Are we actually listening to what God is saying and not the flesh? You know, why did he not tell Barnabas and Saul to go out on their own, to begin their own ministry in their own name to carry out this work? It was because he recognized that it was the church to whom Jesus said, "And I will give unto thee the keys," in which are symbolic of authority, "to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be or have already been bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be or have already been loosed in heaven." You find that in Matthew the 16th chapter, the 19th verse. You know, the Holy Spirit does not go beyond the teaching of scriptures, and neither should we. Barnabas and Saul, not any other individual or institution, have authority in the kingdom of heaven. They may be in the kingdom of heaven, but it was to his church that Jesus gave authority to execute his law, his work in the kingdom of heaven. It was while the church at Antioch was ministering to the Lord and fasting that the Lord's Spirit said to them the word of the text. God desired churches today to be ministering unto him today and not unto themselves. You notice the churches are closed, some are opening, and God got tired of them doing the things that they had been doing. But God is doing what he needs to do in our lives. He wants us to be obedient to him. He wants us to come forth like never before. He wants us to listen to what he is saying. And what he is saying, we are to do what he said. Not what the flesh telling us, our mind telling us, but what did the Holy Ghost say? And you know, as I was reading that in the scripture about the symbolic of authority to the kingdom of heaven, You know, here Barnabas and Saul, not any other individual institution had authority in the kingdom of heaven. They may be in the kingdom of heaven, but it was to his church that Jesus gave authority to execute his law and his work in the kingdom of heaven. That's what the church is for. God executed what he wanted his believers and non-believers to come in to know what thus saith the Lord. It was while the church at Antioch was ministering to the Lord and fasting that the Holy Spirit said to them the words of the text. God desired churches today to be ministering unto him today and not unto themselves. And that's what he wants. The church is built up. We are the church. It's to minister to him, not to ourselves. No doubt they was fasting and seeking the Lord, leadership concerning these certain prophets and teachers as to who they were seeing. When the church at Jerusalem had proposed Barnabas, who was surnamed Justin, and Matthias to replace the vacancy in the office left by Judah, they prayed, asking the Lord which one of the two was to be chosen. You'll find that in Acts 1, 23 and 24. Churches today who will minister unto the Lord, fast and pray, have spiritual ears to hear what the Holy Spirit says to them. And he will speak to those willing to hear. Is your church one that the Holy Spirit can speak to? If not, then why not? Listen to what God is saying. Be attentive to what God wants you to do. Not what man's saying, but to what God would want us to do. That's what the Spirit is saying today. Jesus instructed his church that he must go back to the Father. But he also told them that he should not leave them comfortless or helpless. This comfort would abide with them forever, even the Spirit of truth. He further instructed them that it was expedition or advantageous for them that he go away. For if he did not, the comforter or helper would not come unto them. But when he did come, he would reprove, convict, or convince them of righteousness or what is right. And he would guide them into all truth. He would speak with the authority of another speaking what he heard and showing them all things to come. We're talking about the Holy Spirit speak, but are we listening? You know, he would glorify Christ receiving what was Christ and declared it unto them. Thus he speak convicting the heart what is right and giving guidance to truth. Does the Holy Spirit speak to your church in this manner? If your claims audibly utterance of the Holy Spirit, you claim some things he does not do. But the real question to be answered is able to get through with conviction and guidance to your church. He can if your church will minister unto the Lord and fast seeking it. You know, the short answer to this question is mission. He spoke of separating Barnabas and Saul in order for them to do a work. He had called them to do. That work was to preach the word to other regions beyond their own. It was to carry out the part of the commission to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is the mission of every true New Testament church, to separate and send out missionaries to do mission work. But did you notice that they were to separate? Did you know they were to separate two of them? Not only this, but in verse 5, we read where they took John with them as their assistant. Also, they were being separate and sent by one church and not by two or three different churches. It is evidence that they manifest their membership in the church at Antioch and was responsible to that church for their action. If we want to do great mission work as they did, let us follow their example all the way. If we will do mission work as a team effort, supporting that team with prayer and finances, then great things can be accomplished for the Lord. But the Lord only blessed work done his way and for his glory. That means we have to do things God's way and not our way. You know, in light of the example we have in our text, we need more churches who are willing to send out teams to do mission work with sister churches. This will help support them in their effort. Your church and my church could be one of those churches in either case if we listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, that's what we have to do today, is listen to what God is saying to us. You know, we have to be open. You know, I was reading where now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That's in Hebrews 11 and 1. You know, here faith is the foundation of our walk with God. We believe in him even though we can't see or touch the Holy Spirit. Our faith is demonstrated by our solid trust that God would lead us in the right direction, even in times of the unknown. There need to be an openness coupled with courage to stepping out in faith. When following the direction of the Holy Spirit, the opportunity of faith involves us to grow up spiritually and become more acquainted with the voice of the Spirit. You know, we have to remember our faith in the Holy Spirit is evidence when we are ready to obey, even when it's inconvenient. The readiness to follow in obedience gives us the assurance that we are moving in the right direction. The Holy Spirit empowered the obedience with great strength and peace in the midst of difficulties. Believers who hear from God make it a practice of their lives to obey his word. And that's what we are called to do, to obey his word. And when you don't obey, go and repent for the things you did, the things you said that wasn't pleasing before God. You got to be patient. You know, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You'll find that in Colossians 3 and 12. Hearing from the Holy Spirit requires us to be patient and wait. The Holy Spirit can't be rushing to our life situation. He knows the whole story from beginning to end and will move in the appointed time. We need to seek his peace and learn to wait on the Lord with an attitude of expectation, not complacent. And I'm asking you today, audience, are you listening? The voice of the Holy Spirit is gentle, quiet, very difficult for us to hear when we don't pay close attention. We are connected to the Lord through the Holy Spirit, allowing the sweetest communion. By choosing to humble ourselves and being quiet, prepared, aware, open, ready, and patient, we will hear his voice more clearly and we will trust him more freely. You know, the Holy Spirit is a gift of God, grace to his people. Open your gifts wisely and be blessed in his presence. When we think about the Holy Spirit and read about the Holy Spirit, You know, it's difficult to hear from the Holy Spirit when we don't know the Bible. We are more familiar with the Word of God through the hearing and teaching of it. Also through personal memorization, meditation, and personal study, believers can know the truth of God's Word. Everything of the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. We're lined up with perfecting with Scripture through consistent exposing of the Bible. We would gain greater confidence in hearing the voice of the Spirit. That means we have to get in the Word. We have to listen when God given us dreams, visions, reading the Scripture, memorizing the Scriptures. You know, some people can't read, but if they have audio, they can listen to it, and they'll start memorizing it. They'll start putting it in their head, their minds, and their heart. You know, over in Psalm 51 and 11, it said, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." You know, here we don't want God to take his Holy Spirit from us. Over in Isaiah 63 and 10, it said, "But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, so he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them." You know, over in Isaiah 63 and 11, it also states, "Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them?" Matthew 1 and 8 is talking about the Holy Spirit also. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. When we first start reading the Bible, we hear about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary, that Joseph, didn't want to believe that. How could she be pregnant when he had never touched her? She must have fooled with somebody. No, it was the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that was to come forth, found favor with Mary. You know, over in Matthew 1 and 20, it also states, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." You know, over in Matthew 3 and 11, he said, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." When you are baptized, a true believer, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. "But whosoever speak against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come." Please do not speak against the Holy Spirit. Please, anybody that's listening to me, please don't do it. You know, Matthew 28 and 19 say, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost," the Holy Spirit. Here, you know, in Mark 1 and 8, it says, "I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." My. I hope y'all was able to receive something today, whether you come on the archives later. But I'm being obedient to the call by keeping this broadcast going, whether someone is on it or someone is not. Until he tell me to come off of Blog Talk, I will be right here on it. So today, we were talking about when the Holy Spirit speaks. So I hope you go to the archives and get something from what I said on Barnabas and Saul, on Joseph and Mary, on the baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire. So until next week, you all be blessed. Love each one of you all. And until next week, love each one of you all. Bye-bye.